So we are starting episode 41, and we got a, I wouldn't say a special guest. Yeah,
very was, special.
Yeah, very special guest.
Right here, that, one, that both, one is on here.
So, yeah, I have my mom here. I don't know how I feel about this, but hey, you know, gotta eliminate the comfort zone. So, yeah, the imaginary keyboard. But yeah, so we're gonna, you know, ask her questions, especially kind of like things that people are not aware of who I am and kind of how our culture and stuff like that. So. Yeah, you want to shoot your shot now?
No, not yet.
No, not yet? You don't have nothing that you want to stir up?
No.
Nothing?
Not yet.
All right. So, where do you want to start? Like, let's see. How could I elaborate this? What do you want
to
tell?
You have to introduce me first.
Okay.
What's my name?
Oh, my God. All right. So, can I introduce you by your first name? It's kind of disrespectful. All right. We're gonna go ahead and do it. So my mom's name is Helen Jackpor. Was born in Nigeria. What else should I say? Very highly successful. Definitely learned everything that when it came to the business aspect. She's my role model. I'll say like my superhero. I would say in a way. Yeah. Yeah, so this is getting really soft. It's not like me. I looked up to her on every aspect. The way how she was very observant, way how she handled, you know, drama, because I'm also observant. I think I got that from you, and the sense of being very ambitious and, you know, having a drive to always keep striving and seeing the ups and downs that you went through in life. So I kind of really admire that about you. And if I would say I am protective of you as well, because I don't want anyone to hurt you as well. So, and I think it was like my obligation for me being very young, you know, to take that, I would say like that father role. In a way, for Clive and Noah. So, yeah. So that's my introduction to you, letting the world know of who my mom is and what role that she plays in my life. So,
wow.
Yeah, what is your response to that?
If I open my mouth to say anything, I just have to give God the glory, because without him, I would be nobody today. We pray for strength, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, so that you'll be able to deal with whatever comes your way. Mm-hmm. So I give him all the praise, because he's the one that helped me to raise my voice. And when people say, oh, Helen, how did you do it? Three boys. I say, it's God, the wisdom, mm-hmm. You understand? And I pray that he should help me to raise them up to be a successful, good man. And you cannot see that God has really done that for me. So I give him all the praise. So you can ask me any question now. Well, I can introduce me as Helen Jackpor. And I was born in Nigeria. Then we moved from Nigeria to Germany. And Ken and Clive was born in Germany. Then we decided to come to the US. And Noah was born in the US. So things have been like joyful, I would put that. Grateful. Be appreciative of whatever you have. That keeps me going.
Okay. So with all the traveling that you've done, you had, you know, Ken and Clive in Germany, all these trials and tribulations that you have been through, the struggles made you a stronger woman today, right?
Yes.
Can you elaborate on a little bit of those struggles that you may have faced before that brought you to who you are today?
Well, sometimes when you look back, things that happen to you, either good or bad, you just don't want to think about it. You just want to move forward. When certain situations happen to you, you don't want to justify and know, is this the kind of life I want to live? No matter what this situation, what can I do to improve? Can I continue to live in this situation? When the answer is no, then you know you gotta work hard. Mm-hmm. You have to work hard. I look up and then I don't have nobody to help me, nobody to run to. I know that I don't want to live a life of pity. I want to live a better life. In order for me to do that, I have to work hard. Mm-hmm. And that keeps me going. Like as I shared before, from Germany to US and everything happened, their father walked away from us. I was pregnant with Noah when that happens. You can imagine, and I was so sick. And I find myself in a church sleeping on the floor. We end up from there to a shelter. We spend a couple of months in the shelter. When we move from the shelter, then I went back to school. Then I continue. I remember those times. Noah was a baby. Noah always keep me going. Anytime I see Noah, it's such a sweet.
He always walks around with a big smile on his face, yes, even till today.
Yes, so I always look forward to come back home. You know, before I met the lady who introduced me to Mary Kay, where I was working, able to get my rent, do things and everything. I met the lady and she talked to me about Mary Kay. At points I was like, I don't know. But I just love her look, the way she looks. And she shared information with me and asked me for my information. And she came and gave me facial. So after the facial, I fell in love with the product. Because during that time in my life, I don't really look at the mirror because I have so much blemishes all over my face. Because of the stress and everything, you know. So, but when she came, she did my face. I was like, wow, this feels good. That looks like somebody I was before, you know. So, and she talked to me about the business opportunity. I was like, okay. I know I want to do my own business, but I don't have the capital to start any business. And she said, it's just $100. I said, oh, wow, I think I can afford that. So that's how I started building my business. And honestly, with the help of Ken, he was young there, but it's like life, when you start to go through things, you don't feel that maybe you couldn't do such certain things, no matter what, whether your age or who you are, you just want to do it, mm-hmm. You know? Ken was there to really help me with the other brothers, and that's how I run my Mary Kay business, and before I know it, it became a career for me. On my first car, second car, third car, keep going like that. Driven pink Cadillacs, about four of them. Yes.
Yep, I remember those.
Yes, living this lifestyle. I was like, it's like I just ran with the business. Mm. Okay, I ran with the business. I saw opportunity right there and I ran with it. And I fell in love with it. And the business really blessed me and helped me also to raise them, to spend time with them, you know, not to let somebody else raise them. You know, they are boys. Somebody else raising them for me. And I enjoy raising my kids. I never have any struggle or stress. You could see me the way I look. Mm-hmm. Imagine I'm the one that gave birth to these boys. They never stress me out. I thank God, because that is something I ask God to be in the middle of me and the children, so right. That it will help me to raise them up. So that's how I did all that. And in the process, I was having fun, enjoying everything. I didn't look at it as if I'm struggling, because there was way for me to do what I need to do. God brought the right people to my path, and everything was going so well. I was so happy, just helping other people, you know, training them, doing things. And I know Ken was watching me, everything that I was doing, step by step. I didn't know that. But there's one thing. I was crowned Queen of Mary Kay 2007.
Hey, congrats.
Yes, thank you. So what happened, I went to this seminar 2006, and I was like, I see the way the queen's being crowned. Then I asked myself, why not me? Don't I have the same hands and the same legs they have? I said, okay, I'm coming back as queen next year. I didn't know I'm going to do it. That's strong faith. Mm-hmm. When you believe in something, you believe in yourself, that's something you could do. You just say it, and when you say it, you know you go. You got to do it. Mm-hmm. Immediately I said that word, after I left my national, I was like, how am I going to do this?
It hit you right then. Right? It's like, what just happened?
Exactly. You and were I've overcome. Said it already. I said, oh my God. I said, well, with God by my side, mm-hmm. I will do it. So I came back home and I gave myself a challenge that I have to go out every day and meet with 10 people. I must get 10 names, 10 referrals from me every day. I did that for a good 3 months and everything came to pass and I was crowned queen. But the reason why I did that, I wanted Ken, Clive, Noah to come to seminar with me. The only way they can come is when you are being crowned as one of the queen that night. So that's why I make that, because it's good to show people what you're doing, you understand? Because to me, I feel that whatever I'm doing, that's what they are learning from. I'm the only one they have at that moment. So the good thing, that whatever good thing I will do or whatever hard work I put together, they will be there watching me, right? So I really want them to come to seminar to see how hard work can pay off. Out of 10,000 people, I was number one at that seminar. It was amazing. I was like, you know, so when they called my family, Ken, Clive, and nobody walked down. They were so sweet with the white suit they wore. And everybody was like, wow, wow, wow. So that really taught me a lot of lesson, and I know it taught my children a lot of lesson to know that I let them understand that when mommy said she's going to Dallas, Texas every year, this is what I go there to do. They should come and watch me because I want that for them too.
Wow, I'm over here soaking this whole thing up. Like, I see, and when I hear all of this and I see what I know within Ken, I'm like, I'm kind of mind blown, to be honest with you, because a lot of those things that you wanted to set out and prove and allow him to soak up, he was a sponge for it, because he's doing the same thing. Yes. You wanted your family to be there when, you know, you were crowned queen, right? Mm-hmm. He wants his people to win as well. Mm-hmm. So he's, you know, it's like that trait, those traits, then all those things that you set as a standard, all passed down. And for me, when I'm looking at all three of them, I'm like, these are like three of the happiest guys I've ever seen in my life. Like, and that all comes from the center of what you've done. So that's kind of why I wanted to ask that question about the struggles, because it made you who you are today, and traveled down and made three great young men here. You know what I mean? So you've done a great job, I'll tell you that, from my perspective.
Thank you.
So, I mean, I've only known Ken, what, 2 years now? Clive, around a little over 2 years. Clive and, you know, Noah, and I just see, you know, when I'm looking at them, I'm like, oh my gosh, these guys have this drive, right? They have this drive. And to know now where it came from and everything that you'd been through, that's, I mean, it's kind of like that source, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's cool to kind of see that.
Yeah.
I want to know, though, I know I was going to probably hold this back, but okay. No. What's the most embarrassing Ken story that you could tell us? I want to know for the people. The people are wondering that. Where's your IG Live? I know the IG Live people are like, I want to hear some dirt. I want to hear this man Ken. I want to hear some dirt. So we can keep it PG. What
embarrassing story?
Yeah.
Ken has always been a wonderful son. I don't think I will have something to, you know how you have kids. Some kids struggle even when they are babies. You run around, you know, when the baby's not around, you like looking for the baby. But Ken has always been very, very calm. Mm. Having Ken hush me to want to have Clive. Yeah. But two of them are so different. Ken was very calm, and Clive, even right from my stomach, I added weight because of Clive. Middle of the night, I had to wake up and cook to eat when I was pregnant with him. Okay. Yeah, then even when he was a baby, when he's around, it's problem. When he's not around, it's problem. You know, you keep chasing him up and down. But Ken can just sit down, relax, and watch MTV for good 2 or 3 hours. Watch MTV for good three, you know? Mm-hmm. But compared to Clive, he was different. So I don't know. What I want to say is that I was so worried now, but I'm very happy now. Because mm-hmm. He was so calm. I don't want somebody to take advantage of him.
Right.
He has this soft heart, you know? I was always like, oh, but for Clive, I'm not worried. Nobody will mess up with Clive.
I respect that. I respect that.
You know, yeah, but Ken has always been a good, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. So Clive is the crazy one.
Yeah.
Since day one.
He wasn't crazy. everybody has different personality.
So where does Noah fit within this?
In between both of them.
Okay. He's got a little bit of calmness with a lot of energy at times. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Well, that's cool. What what questions do you want to ask?
Yeah.
I'm over here talking with your mom all the time.
So
I want you to talk about the times when I first told you that I wanted to get involved in trading, and how I wanted to stop going to school. And she gave me, oh my God, like an ultimatum, like, no, finish your degree, this and that. And I was like beginning to become very open-minded, and watching her like accomplish what she accomplished made me, you know, look at my own life to actually reflect on, and was like, if she could do it, and you know, she's coming from Nigeria and she's like, you know, excelling and hitting the, you know, the company goals, I'm like, why the hell? And I didn't know how to utilize social media at the time, and she was not using social media at the time at all. So I'm like, okay, I could leverage this to my benefit. And I kept telling her, I'm like, no, like, I don't want a degree. Like, I know I'm smarter than the professors. Like, you know, I was developing an ego at that point, but I knew that I was meant for a greater purpose. And it was not going to school, you know, to get a degree and be like everyone else. So, and I've always been self-taught ever since when I was little. You know, I taught myself how to play soccer, you know, came to the States. I observed and I watched, you know, different other kids play basketball, and that became my passion. So basketball taught me a lot, and it was stepping stones. And then when I received the information about, you know, network marketing, you know, I wanted to explore, I wanted to tap in and how I could find value and give to others, how my mom did. So I did that, and I was like, you know what? Well, I'm not gonna finish going to school, you know, whatever it took that I had to do. And, you know, I went through multiple jobs. You know, she drove me to a countless of times, and she told me to get a job over and over and over. I got excited for my last paychecks than my current one, and my mom would be like, oh, you get fired. And I'm like, and it was like, you know, somewhat embarrassing because I couldn't keep a job. So, and then I told her I was gonna get involved with trade. I remember when I was young, and I told her that at 10 that I promised her that I was gonna get her a house. And I've been telling her for years and years and years after. And I'm like, look, it's gonna pay off. Got involved with trading. I was in my room. There were times that I did not want to go out, or she would even check up on me if I even eaten anything. And I'm like, no, I'm eating Oreos. So I'll be so content and this and that. Or the times that you got apple pies and I used to eat all of it and leave the containers in the fridge, right? So I was that kind of a kid. So I don't know, like, you know, she, my mom, like, as she was growing up, like, you know, we always have those parents that always want to have their kids that they could brag about. But I felt like, you know, in that stage, I kind of felt like I was disappointing her in a way, because, like, you know, like, kids like my age were like either like they're finally graduating from college, and she always bring it up to my face and just brag it to me and be like, look, this person's a doctor, this is an engineer. And I'm like, so what? They're going to be working for someone. Like, watch, training's going to pay off and I'm going to be my own damn boss. And I'm going to live the life and I'm going to get you your damn house. So, you know, it was odds against that. It's not like she didn't believe in me. It's just that she wanted me to have a safe route of an opportunity. But I couldn't get that, what you accomplished. Our leak is outside. So couldn't go like that phase. And I wanted that. And, you know, I had my ups and downs, and she became like, you know, the main motivation of why, you know, every single time, like, people are like, why are you staying up? What are the late nights? It's like, it's my mom. Like, she didn't have to take us in. Like, you know, there was no responsibility of like, oh, okay, I'm obligated to take care of you guys since our dad left. So I always held that accountable. And that was the saying of where sleeping on my dreams came from. So, like, I had a purpose, and I kept going. So I want to hear your input on how did you feel when... No, it's her phone. So I want to hear, like, what is your feedback on when I was leaving school and wanting to obtain, you know, the entrepreneur route, and all the times that I was getting fired from my job, like, what was your feeling? And did you feel like, oh, is this the route that he wants to go? Or you felt like, oh no, like, he should have just continued, you know, getting my degree?
For the first place, not that I didn't feel bad, or as a mother, like, for me to feel like I failed you. You understand? I know you're going to become somebody in the future. I know that for sure. But the thing is that education is something that you cannot go wrong with education. One thing I remember then I used to tell you is that no matter what you want to become, even though you want to work for yourself, education will not deprive you for doing that. That's what I always think. Education is very, very important. You can have your education, whatever thing you study, and decide to do something else. Like some of us now, I never use my degree to do anything, okay? But it gives you a lot of power, knowledge, and everything inside you to be able to manage whatever business you want to do. No matter what you want to do, that education cannot stop. Because I know you are very, very smart. Ken is a very, very smart kid. Even at the age of 10, I remember when I started to drive, he has to help me. When I come out from somewhere, he will be the one to take us back home. You know? So he's a very smart kid, and I know that something great is coming, but I don't want him to miss that part of that education part. So I was so worried. Every night I prayed to God. I said, God, please help my son, help my son, help my son. You understand? So when he started the business, I'm not surprised where he's going to, because I know he's a very, very smart person. Imagine when you are in the classroom, your teacher is teaching you, you kind of understand or know even before what your teacher is explaining to you, that become very boring, right? Mm. So, because he's very smart, I know that. But getting the education, he said, those are just paper. Mommy, I want to do this. And I said, okay. I said, well, no matter what you put your hand, God will bless you with it. You understand? So that's the part that I didn't like at all. Yeah, I did not like that at all.
It was like 4 years of like horroring me on it. I'm like,
and there's something he does. He will be rolling on the bed. You forget that?
Yeah.
I said, you keep rolling on the bed. Look at what people are doing. This is doing this. This is doing that. You can't be doing
this. I was like, and I used to always tell him, I'm like, watch, I'm going to make thousands in my bed.
Yes.
That was always my response.
Of course. No parents will not want your kids to complete the education. No parents will not want that, you know. So I figure that I know he's smart. He can do anything he set his mind to do. But I just want him to have that. To me, I just feel that that is something like backup you have, in just in case, you know, you have something else to fall back on. So that's very, very important. So, but I'm grateful.
Yeah, I just took as if I'm going this route, I'm not going to have a backup because I refuse to be comfortable at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times that I wanted to give you money at times, and I checked my bank account every weekend. Always went to overdraft, like every time. So it was just like I had to continue to keep striving no matter what I had to do. So, and that's when we ended up, I think it was like 2008 when all like the tough times, and we had to move to Arizona. And I've been telling you for years, I was like, we need to move over there. We need to move, you know, but like she didn't want to move because like, you know, like the chance of like our dad kind of being involved in our lives. But at that point, I didn't really care. Like I accepted the terms, you know, that's when he left. You know, I saw the games that, you know, it made me kind of like enrolled to be a better man. That when I do have my own kids, I am going to set the guidelines for it, mm-hmm. and not, well, definitely not do what he did, because, you know, mm-hmm. they could have went in a different route about mm-hmm. it. So, and yeah, and that's when I was telling him, I was like, look, there's not enough open-minded individuals living in Massachusetts. Like, you know, like I know kids that I graduated high school, they're still doing the exact same thing. And I stopped hanging out with them, and you know, it just became a very distant, you know, ending relationship on that part. But once we moved in, I think to Arizona, I definitely explored a lot, especially mentally, you know, to learn to really be more out your comfort zone and tapping in and connecting with individuals and just continue grinding. Like, so, and that's what kind of really led to that point.
So even though he didn't go to college and he didn't finish. My apologies.
The future was, I'm not going to be like every right. typical statistics as a Black African-American to be potentially having a family down the road.
Right.
Mm. And, you know, the chances of playing overseas is very high. Like, you know, or if you don't perform, you know, you're getting paid by your performance. It's not just how skilled you are, it's performance. It's what you're right. delivering every game for you to bring to the organization.
Right.
And, you know, and as a typical society that we live in, is that in our culture, we're always taught to either become, you know, playing sports or you're becoming something important.
Facts. Major facts.
Like, you know, so like.
Major facts.
I wanted to eliminate that category and created my own path.
Right.
And pursuing an entrepreneur, but not only just doing it because I wanted to pursue that route. I wanted to actually impact our Black community as well and show them that there is a diversity of education, well, self-education on that fact, that you could actually diversify, you know, whatever that you truly, yeah, whatever you truly want to be in life. So that's the reason why, like, you know, I saw basketball, like people get excited. They're like, look, I know a lot of basketball athletes that are in the NBA and they don't even know how to diversify their income. They have the wrong agents, you know, they're telling people to invest into this, start into this, you know, and I saw it. So that's the reason why I kind of also didn't want to pursue basketball. It wasn't fun because I knew that basketball is a business. Mm-hmm. You get that the fun is not there. It's a business. So you get traded. It's the same scenario. You got to perform, etc. So, and entrepreneur is no cap. You could make as much as you want. You know, you could set your own income. You could set your own guidelines. So, but you can carry on.
Yep, sorry. So let me correct myself. I apologize. So you went, you just didn't finish, right?
Yep.
Okay. So where the successful education that he came from was more on the charts and being, you know, in the room alone, et cetera. Do you feel that there's a part that he still missed out on within that time that you were concerned for beforehand?
Why it was.
So like you wanted him to finish and get his degree, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And because you felt that there was things that he needs to experience, that education he needs to experience. Mm-hmm. So with the alternative type of education where his comes from, the charts, mm-hmm. do you still feel that he still missed out on the college education portion?
No, I don't think so. Because right now, what he does, he teaches people now. Right? Mm-hmm. Even like me, I have my degree is on food science and technology. And I end up in a beauty thing that I now teach people how to take care of their skin, mm-hmm. how to keep them looking younger. So that's a different background.
Can you help me?
Of course.
I need to look like 10 years younger.
Of course. That's what now I don't have teaching experience, but now that's what I'm doing right now. So in anything you do, like even traveling is part of education. Anything you do in life, so long you are focused, put your energy, do what you want to do, discipline yourself, that's your education right there.
I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Yep. That's basically what I got it from. So, you know, just observe everything that she did. And then, you know, I applied it to how I could have it duplicated among others. So I've always been like the kind of person that would lead, and that's what I saw from my mom. And she was always leading, never following what other people did, you know, always setting the boundaries to how she wants to be set. And then everyone else always followed. And that's why my mom always envisioned me that, you know, I was gonna be great, but I didn't know what I was gonna be great at. I was good at many things, but it was just like there wasn't a carry away on anything that I really wanted to focus on. Because if I set my mind into anything, I tend to always accomplish it. So, and my mom put me in a high pedestal when I was young. You know, I'm the first child. Of course, that's, you know, completely reasonable. But the amount of pressure that I have gone through life, I applied it onto the charts. Holding a huge responsibility, I applied it through my childhood. And that's how I applied it with everyone that's a part of the academy. Dealing with people that down talk you and handling negativity, you know, the drama, you know, it's how I handled it on the charts and with the company as well. Setting goals and accomplishing it, it's what I learned from my mom, setting and paving the way. So like, everything that I took from that life experience, I applied onto the trading, and it sharpened my mindset very sharp. So when it comes to having emotions, I've dealt with it. I lost my dad when I was 11. He walked out of my life. So I learned how to adjust and then apply that to trading. So all those kind of like key aspects, that's why huge, important thing that when it comes to the mindset, it's just like, what are the challenging things that's, you know, being applied in your life? Like, how could you translate that into the charts and take your mindset to the next level? And, you know, when I talked to my mom about it, and, you know, I said, this is a goal. And I told her, hey, I'm like, hey, look, I hit 100K in a week, you know, and she just looks at me and she's like, wow. It's not even surprising to her because, you know, she is manifested by praying to God, and the answers has come full in blessing. So, and my gift, I think, to me is, you know, being God's vessel and helping others. And so when people ask me like, oh, how do you feel when you accomplish? I'm like, look, it's already been done.
So, I'm not impressed by the 100K week.
Yeah. But you know, that's just how I look at it, you know, and people will never know because my mom is like my hype man. And I've been her hype man my entire life. So when I see her like reposting stuff on Facebook and she's talking to all of her friends and she's asked me, what's your website? And so if you could sign up and they're calling her and then she's like, I'm over here handling a call. And she's like, yeah, I just need your website. And I'm like, I'm over here talking to grown ass men. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, I do not have time for this. So like, I'm not trying to sell you on a vision. So, but yeah, like, you know, anything that I post, like, you know, she even like started to watch like my podcast videos and, you know, talking to me about it. Usually she blows my phone up every single day. Don't and calls me. Yeah, and calls me, but it's good. Like, you know, like that's why I tell a lot of people. I was like, look, you know, like, yeah, she calls me every single day. I'm like, it's my mom. I won't say like I'm a mama's boy. It's just like I appreciate my mom, like, you know, for what she's done. And yeah, like that's one person now put aside to everything and, you know, and handle. So
I feel that 100%, bro. And we'll find out. You'll find more about that next week. Mm-hmm. When we get into it, there's a lot of things that kind of resonate like within this.
I was in Boston and I FaceTimed you and your mom
pops yeah, my mom in. My mom pops in. Hi, Ken. I'm like, hi. So seeing over the past couple years, a lot of the things that Ken has been through, where would you like to see him now in 2 years from now?
And I always say that no matter what you're doing, even though nobody is watching you, always try to do right. Always try to do good, because everything that you do will come back to you. Okay? So like what he said, helping people, that is a good thing. No matter how successful you are, you have money, so much money, and you don't see other people that you want to lift up. You don't see other people you want to help. To me, I would consider you that you don't have any money. So the people you help, the good things you do, will come back to you. I don't play with that. You always want to know that no matter what, somebody, you think nobody's watching you, but there's somebody up there that is watching you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's very, very important. Have a clean heart. Whatever you do, you will be lifted up. More blessings will continue to come your way.
I'm with that. It's like Michael Jackson said. It's like Michael Jackson said, somebody's watching me.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So that, in fact, when I look... The way raising these my wonderful children, I just give thanks to God every day. No matter what you have to be grateful, you have to be thankful, and when you have those, you will have joy inside you. So whatever thing you are doing, whether you are helping somebody, you will be smiling, and people will ask, why are you so happy? I say, because I'm happy. I have no reason why I shouldn't be happy. I have good health. My kids are doing okay. I am blessed.
You know, some people don't see that, though.
Oh, like, yes.
It's unfortunate.
You have to appreciate the little things you have.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get so much stuff. There's something Ken did, because in Mary Kay, I earn so much diamonds, jewelry. You can see them on my hands. Okay. I know it was hanging out with some friends. He would not pick some of my rings on. I said, stop doing that. Yeah. I said, you know what? You're going to buy all these things for me when you grow up. Stop touching my stuff. That is one thing that I was so grateful that I only have boys, so I won't have girls dragging my stuff with me.
Now you got these things.
Yeah, so when you keep your mind like that, every other thing will fall in place for you. You'll be happy. And that's what I put in there. That's why you see this smile. I have that $1 million smile all the time. And I pass it on to them too.
Well, and you've got two younger ones that are younger than him that still have a, you know, their times are really coming. Noah's got a bright future ahead of him. So, I mean, I can only imagine what it's like for you to be able to experience it once, mm-hmm. and then be able to see it two more times after this, isn't right? That's going to be kind of interesting.
Yes, yes.
Can you tell us what you kind of feel for that in the future? Like, where's the excitement level for that?
As a Christian, mm-hmm. I just shared to you that every little thing gets me excited. Every little thing. And sometimes I tell people, when they see me the way I smile all the time, I would say I'm not just an easy person like that, okay? Well, you can see me smiling. Everything seems to amaze me, but don't get to my bad side, okay? So a lot of people know that I'm always happy. You never see me get upset. I'm grateful every little bit of it. When I go to bed, pray to God, and I sleep like a baby. I woke up in the first thing, I give thanks to him for another life, mm-hmm. okay? So I have no reason not to be happy. And because I wish those good things for myself, for my children, for other people around me, so good thing will always come around me. So I know that my kids, they will be okay because I already walk on that path with them. To follow, to know Christ. That's our Savior.
That faith yes. level is extremely high.
So they know
high.
That. Mm-hmm. So they know good from bad. Mm-hmm. So I've already laid that foundation when they were young. So, you know, you take time when they were young. They will tell you. Mm-hmm. I look like this, but I'm kind of tough.
Oh, I bet. I don't doubt it.
Yes, I kind of talk. So we've done all that when they were young. So now it's just to see them grow to become the young men God has made them to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When we've heard some stories that Clive has been through. Mm-hmm. And I know he's not here to kind of defend himself. But did you have any worries for Clive at one point?
When you have kids, you're going to have different types of behavior, characters, and everything, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we shared before, Ken is calm, Noah is in the middle. Mm-hmm. So I've already said that even when Clive was a baby, he was tough, right? So, but today I just give God the glory.
Yeah.
Yeah, just give God the glory.
I'm
it could
on
have
that.
Been something else, but
well, whatever you did, it
God took charge, yes.
Exactly. Instilling that faith. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a lot of your drive comes from faith overall.
Oh yes. How could I have done this alone with three boys?
Hey, I have one stepdaughter and that's enough.
I remember when I was crowned as queen. When the three of them stood there and I talk about all I was, they want me to say something about myself, but I have nothing to say about myself. All I had to say was about my kids. Mm-hmm. I was talking about them. And people were crying. Oh, it was so emotional. Even today, if I watch the video, when it gets to where, especially when I'm talking about Ken, I'm so emotional. I don't want to watch that part. I remember the last statement I made to Noah. I say, "I love you. I love you, Noah." Then Noah responded, "I love you too, mommy." You know, so I talked about them, about my children, because they are the reason why I do a lot of things that I do. Understand? So mm-hmm. I'm just thankful.
And speak on becoming the queen of Mary Kay. Where did that rank in your accomplishments for yourself? Like, tell us about that a little bit.
I shared before. I decided to be a queen because of them. Mm-hmm. Everything is about them.
Yeah.
You know? So, in order for your family to come to seminar, you have to be one of the queens crowned. I think they do crown three or four queens at the seminar once a year. So is the heart of wanting more, to do more, to achieve more, seeing other people being crowned, I was like, what is wrong with me? I believe they have one head, they have two hands, and they have two legs. What are they doing that I cannot do?
Right.
So that's when I challenged myself. I'm good at challenging myself in anything that I do. And I challenged myself. I want to come back as queen next year. And I called my nation. I said, I'm coming back as queen. Remember I said that? I said, well, how did I do that? But that really gave me that momentum. Just want to become queen. And I earned my first top trip to Stockholm, Sweden.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And I offspring 7 directors on that same year. So a lot of things happened for me just because I want to sit on that chair as the queen.
Do you feel you manifested that a year ahead of time?
I never thought about it.
No.
Right at the finishing of the seminar of 2006, right? That's when I made the proclamation that I'm coming back as queen. I never visioned it.
Someone heard you.
Someone heard you. When I said it, and I said it, I said because of my boys.
Mm-hmm.
I really want them to know. Every time I said I'm going to Dallas, what am I going there to do? And that they see me walk. And when I came back, I called Ken. I said, Ken, mommy is going to work really, really, really hard this year. So I'll need your help. You remember that time? Mm-hmm. I said, I'll need. Sometimes I come back home so late and I will just enter the couch and sleep. No, I'll see Ken cover me up. It's not a good thing to be a single mom. It's never a good thing to be a single mom.
I was raised by a single mom, so I have a lot of connection with what you guys are talking about here.
Mm.
So my father left when I was 5. Mm. Due to alcohol. He chose alcohol over his family. So you know, I relate to a lot of the position that Ken is in, where, you know, he's looking up to you, where that hard work comes in play. My mother was a medical transcriptionist for 40 years. So she would work days, nights, et cetera, and just typing away all day. That's all she would do, is just type. So whether she was sick, because she worked from home a lot, whether she was sick, she was working this, that, and the other. So not to go into it too much, but I completely see where that role model perspective from him and being that sponge where he soaked up a lot of those traits comes into play. And I wouldn't doubt if there's a part of him that is always like, am I still living up to the expectations of what I need to do as the main male, right? So I relate to a lot of that. And I think that, overall, like I said beforehand, you've done a great job doing it. You know, and like you said, you never know who's watching you.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you have someone above watching you or even your kids soaking it up, I think that, all around, when like you said, when you're a good person, it all comes back,
yes.
You know? So I don't know. I think that this was real interesting to kind of hear all this, hear this side of it, see where your drive comes from.
Yeah.
It's now completely solidified for me where I'm like, I get it now. I get it.
Yeah, so yeah, it's just kind of like the icing to everything. So when I'm up and I'm grinding, it's like, you know, it's my mom. It's kind of like a tribute to all the sacrifices that she has done. So when she's calling me sometimes and I'm like, look, I'm busy today, she knows. Like, it's kind of like a flipped agenda role, like, you know, like she did her part and I'm doing my part now. But the only thing now is just like I'm taking more of a workload off on her end. And that's the kind of the reason why I'm always happy, honestly. Because I know when I'm accomplishing everything, I know my mom is there, being there to observe it. So And that kind of brings back to how humble I am. Just because I've always wanted to lead that in the right direction and, you know, pave for others, because I know the eyes are always watching, and I know when it's the right time to you know, to bring, you know, that kind of attention and when not to. So I've always learned that, especially in a very early age. So, and, you know, I just picture how my mom wants me to be brought up to the world and given the value and how I give it. So that's sums up everything. You know, I thank you a lot for making me the man that I am today. So
thank God.
Yes, and thank you, because I'm saying thank you for him, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't know how to trade.
Yes.
So, anything that you would like to leave our viewers with, one last thing that you could give, maybe a piece of advice or a quote, something that really drives you?
Gandhi's awesome. Once and now we want to share, I don't know if that would be advice, is that if you made your mind already that you want to, this is what you want to do, the trading and everything, you gotta focus and discipline yourself. When you say you're going to do something, don't procrastinate, just go ahead and do it. Because sometimes we use that word, we say delay is dangerous. Certain things you're supposed to do at the right time, you don't do it, that time is gone. Okay? So focus and be humble, open mind to learn. Don't feel that, maybe Ken is younger than me or something like that. It doesn't really matter. Because when God has put you in a position as a leader, these people are under you. You know, you have to take care of them. Because whatever thing God put in your hands, that's your ministry. You have to handle it very well. It's just like you, maybe as a father, your son wants something, and you give him this thing, he will look at it that, this is too small. Will you be happy to give him something else again? Because he didn't appreciate what you just gave to him.
Right.
But when the person appreciates what the little thing you give, you want to give more. And as a leader, I would tell people that I don't take things for granted. Even as I grow my own business, I have so many people who are older than me, and they respect me. They want to hear from me. When I say something, as soon as they come to me to ask me this question, they feel fulfilled. They feel so good that, yes, since I said, okay, go ahead and do this, that means it's right, because they believe in me. So that's why whatever thing you have in hand, you have to hold it tight. That's your ministry. If you don't take care of it, you let it slip off you, that would be too bad. And as somebody who is also, people are under you, they are learning from you. They watch you for whatever thing you say to them. They believe in you. So they want to follow you. And you want to have that clean mind. Don't always think what I'm going to make for myself. Sometimes when you do that, that means you're selfish. You're not thinking of other people. So it's always good to just think, I'm going to bless this person. I'm going to help this person. I want to see this person happy. Because you want to see this person happy, more happiness comes to you. Because you cannot give what you don't have. It's what you have that you're going to give to people. Mm-hmm. So you have to respect whatever position you have. And knowing that this is the ministry God has given to you, if you handle it with care, everything will go so well for you.
Wow. That was great. Yes, I'm over here like, I hope everybody that watches this video please, or listen to this on Spotify.
You see, I can never be negative around my mom.
Yes, and you know what? And that's great, because then you call me with your negativity. That's fine though. So I hope everybody that's watching this video, I hope you guys take this wisdom that has been brought upon us, and there's a lot of golden nuggets here that can help with a lot of things within life. And I hope that you guys soak that in, because I mean, I'm over here like I'm 37 and I feel like I'm a child in school right now listening to this. So I hope everybody takes value from this. I think it was a great opportunity. Thank you. I'm gonna call you mom if that's okay, because Ken's like my family here. I appreciate you being here with us. Thank you very much for blessing us.
Thank you. And I'll let
Ken go ahead and close us out here.
Yeah. And also, last thing to mention, if you guys are, we're gonna drop her website in the bio on this, because I love Mary Kay's men's cologne, and yes, I love smelling good. So for all you guys men's, every woman likes a man that smells good. So don't be that guy that likes to be dirty. So make sure you drop and visit the website. And yeah, so this wraps up for episode 41. Make sure you guys like and subscribe. Yeah, episode 42 is gonna be about you.
Yay.